Thursday, June 16th, 1977, House Judiciary Conference Committee on House Bill 2341 at 8:10 in the morning in room 354.
We did, and what we attempted to do, the first thing was to conform to the amendments that the House made by, and I'm not speaking in order, but you put in charitable. I think what you did was to try and make it consistent, and so we even went further and dropped in the word charitable in a couple places. We tried to make a definition. We moved the definition of bingo or lotto so it didn't have to be repeated every time.
Yeah. That's good.
Okay. And then I think that's basically what we've done. And then the major thing we've done, which I suspect has caused the concern, is that we have removed the, or added a section 2 that allows a city or county to prohibit or to regulate the conduct for the operation of bingo or lotto.
Wally, before we get to that, and that is going to be the key problem, I don't think we have any difficulty with the way you've realigned the definition as far as placement and so forth. Also, you did go back to a more restrictive definition by referring to the drawing of numbered markers from a container.
Yes, you have to be present to do it.
And now Kip can speak for himself. I, for one, don't have any problem with that. It's a narrower definition than the House first adopted,
right,
and we did fight about that in one of the minority reports and rejected the narrower definition. The question I would raise is, even assuming we could reach agreement on that point, there is a form of bingo in the conventional mode that is played not by an individual drawing a marker from a container, at least taking those words literally, but by which the marker is expelled from the container by a blower.
Get
of
air.
Sort.
Okay. All right.
And I'm sure you don't intend
to
exclude that from this definition.
But what we're trying to get away from is the other kinds of things and non-participatory games.
The only other literal question I had, Wally, on that was you also, in taking the minority report definition, restricted to covering or uncovering a line, and of course, if you want to be literal about that, that would disallow blackout, which is filling the whole card. That's, you know, I don't know if anybody's going to be.
Well, of course, cover says who first covers or uncovers. Oh, I see the word line.
Line.
Our language was covers or uncovers numbers in a designated sequence, combination, or pattern. Is there anything?
No, there's no problem with that. Is there, Walt?
No.
That's fine.
So we could put,
yeah.
Okay, is there a way we could make clear our sanction of numbers coming from a container by means other than manually drawing them from it?
This removes.
How about selects?
Selects.
Because it could even be electronic. We don't mean to,
called by an individual who selects numbered markers.
Mm-hmm.
And then delete it from a container.
Probably. Do they do it electronically?
I don't know.
Do they? They are electronic.
In fact, as far as the machine is concerned, the electronic machine, the blower type, is the only fair way to run a bingo game. Then you have absolutely no personal choice of picking out a number.
Okay, but there's, it still blows a number into some.
What it does, the blower has two arms, and the blower will blow up, and it'll go into one side and the other side until you select your numbers. So the thing jumbles around.
Okay.
It's
is the number called out?
Well, as the number goes into the arms, well, then that number is called.
I mean, it is called out.
Yeah,
it isn't read by some electronic device and flashed on a screen or something.
Yeah.
It is?
On the screen, they have it so they flash on the screen so that you can see it as distinguished from hearing it.
So it isn't called out then by an individual?
No. No, it isn't called out.
That's another problem, then, technically, I guess.
See, because they're calling out, the people are playing bingo. They have a hard time hearing. And then a bingo player will have maybe seven or eight cards in front of them that they'll play with. And so they have to have a board where they can look at the numbers and follow the game. Otherwise, if you call a number, you call 27, well, you may be a little hard of hearing and you can't hear 27. So they have to operate it with a mechanical board.
Artie, that's the most, that is more elaborate than most of them.
Yeah, but I think we want
to really form more on it.
Yeah,
why would you both think about letting Dennis prepare a proposed redraft of that section for our review, rather than trying to work out every word right now? Would you have any problem with that?
Yeah.
Okay. I guess that would eliminate this one as a call by individual. Obviously, this is 200 in the engrossed edition.
Okay, and then I guess it's agreed we would go back to the House version on the point that Kip was discussing earlier.
Combination, sequence, or pattern.
Yes, there's no problem there. But we do want it in the presence of.
Yes.
Okay. Sure.
Do you have a problem with that?
No, I don't have a problem with that. Great.
Okay, now let's see, I guess the other changes up to the point of Section 2 are...
I think they're all just as I've explained them, but you might want to double check them.
I went over it, and it appeared to me that we just took a different approach, but came up with the same thing.
Yeah, I think...
I think more readable than what we were...
Yeah, they did.
We had taken the language literally from the Constitutional Amendment. Lottery, commonly known as bingo or lotto, and so that's why we were coming from that direction.
Having written that, I feel somewhat bound to... written that garbage, trying to make it make sense when they put it in statutes.
Okay, I guess that brings us to Section 2.
I think the major change, and I don't recall specifically, but I think the major change, I think we bought the you had the concept of control, but you also had this specific prohibition that the subdivision could not adopt or enforce any ordinance that prohibits, but you did give them authority to license and regulate. So I presume you gave them the authority to prohibit on a selective basis.
No.
Well, why regulate somebody if you can't take their license away from them?
Oh, I'm sorry. You mean for violation of the...
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I guess.
I mean, I presume that's a sanction that
I'm sorry, I thought you meant prohibit outright.
Oh, no. If that's what you found objection to, and that's the major difference, I think, from what we did. And I'm probably most responsible for that. I tried to get it so the city or county had to pass an ordinance in order to have bingo or lotto, and was thrashed soundly by my committee on that one. So then I tried again.
Senator, they read the election returns even if...
Yes, right. I understand. So then I said, well, okay, how about provision so that... the issue here again is local control. That the constitutional amendment, as I read it, says we may, it's no longer a lottery, but there are a lot of things, as you know, that we permit by statute or refuse to permit. My experience, well, I'll tell you where I'm coming from. My experience was this legislature was conned into, choose that word carefully, into passing a rather broad card room amendment. So 4 years ago, in 73, and it caused considerable trouble in Marion County. I don't know about Multnomah or Jackson County or Clackamas, but it was a place called Decent Dudley's. It just caused fits to the city of Salem and the Marion County Sheriff's Office and a lot of other people. And had this kind of provision been in, where there's just nothing they could do about it, then there been a problem. Now,
you know, maybe the answer is tough regulation, and if they violate the regulation, you know, you have several steps you can do. You can have an outright prohibition, and then you can say, okay, well, they're going to have it unless, the way the Senate amendment reads, you're going to have it unless the city or county steps forward and prohibits it. And then yours is a step a notch further, because I would like, in any event, whether I win or lose that aspect, I'd like to make it clear that the city or county, if those rules are violated, does have the authority to jerk the license and prohibit, as to an individual licensee, the operation of lotto or bingo.
That's a sanction.
It's got to have a sanction in that. It's got to be a restriction. I'd like to see it allow the city, if Elmira does not want to have bingo for any reason, I'd like to have them be able to say there ain't going to be no bingo in Elmira, city council said.
We, interestingly enough, in all of the different issues that we were struggling with in the House that were raised by the two minority reports, I think both our committee and the, I'd say the House, pretty totally was united on the issue of legal one place, legal everywhere, on the basis that it was our perception that's what we felt the people of Oregon were expecting when that constitution was passed last fall. But we certainly wanted, and so the major issue in the House was whether there would be the power to regulate and license. I mean, we had a number of people in the House who didn't even want to go that far. So that kind of gives you an idea of where, in terms of our people over here, we're coming from as far as what we can get through and not get through. At least that's my reading right now.
Well, I think we took a literal look at the constitutional amendment also. I know we discussed this power and possibility of prohibition at the local level, and we felt, I think uniformly, that in reading the language of the amendment that allowed the legislature to provide for the establishment, operation, and regulation, that this was not a local option type of amendment that would allow the local units of government to actually prohibit. And we felt that, I think that when the people did vote on this, they felt that they were simply going to be able to play bingo anywhere, anytime.
Well, of course, I think you're right, but I think there is a misconception. A lot of people thought that the minute that passed, they could play bingo.
Yes, they did.
So the general public was unaware of the fact, not the general public, but a number of people were unaware that very carefully stated in the amendment was providing us with the opportunity to provide it. And other than what I might call a moral compunction, there is absolutely no legal requirement for us to pass anything.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I think we all agree to that. We don't have to pass a thing. Now, we may break faith with the people by not doing it, mm-hmm. because they have resoundingly said they want to do it. But really what they said is they gave us the authority, because that's the way it was written. It was not written, and the reason, I can assure you from my standpoint, is one of 90 2 years ago, the reason it was not written specifically to authorize LACO and set forth the terms in the amendment was that we wanted to be able to amend and change as the time comes and not have it frozen in the Constitution.
Well, I think it's very difficult.
The only thing we wanted to do was to make sure that we could break that lottery prohibition, mm-hmm. and then turn it over to the legislature to massage the thing and make the thing work in a lawful and efficient way. So I hear what you're saying, and I guess it's just a difference of opinion, and I think I'm in the minority, frankly, who say that the city, for instance, the cities can prohibit booze. It's just not every city that has it right now. It used to be Monmouth, I think, was about the only one that didn't have it, and they finally gave up and I think passed an ordinance. But I suppose the concern is that are we really legislating for the hamlet and village and, mm-hmm. and town and county in the state of Oregon, or is this a permissive statute? And that's kind of the way I look at it.
Wally, I don't know how far it would go toward you know, meeting your concerns, but I don't believe that, I wouldn't, again, letting Kip speak for himself, I don't think we'd have any problem accepting a clear statement that, you know, along with a prohibition against prohibition, you know, making clear that nothing, you know, in that section prohibits prohibition of a further conduct of the game by an individual, you know, licensed under an ordinance or violations of, you know, the terms and conditions of that license, however you want to frame it, but as a sanction for violation of the regulatory stuff.
City or county could back Dory on it. I think we recognize that. They could put some rather stringent license requirements. For instance, it would seem to me that the reasonable requirements could relate to the premises, could relate to the days, the times, the number of, the amount of prizes, the age, I don't know about age, but you could, I think reasonably, a city or county could generally prescribe that it's going to be over by 11 or by midnight, or that it's maybe even the amount of the prizes, I don't know, but put some restrictions. Would that be in the kind of, would that be in keeping with what your folks are thinking about, that kind of restriction?
That's precisely what
you're exactly thinking about. And there was a debate over that, because the debate really was, you know, should we even give the local authorities that kind of control to really de facto prohibit by very harsh restrictions? And again, I guess we looked at the results and we said, you know, if any community wants to try it, let them try. I think that their elderly community and others will rise up.
And of course, I'm not about the safety valve. I'm comfortable with that. The city councils and the county commissions are going to look at the same result.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm not fearful of striking the prohibition. If some little community or some large community, the city council said, we're just not going to have bingo, period. They're going to have to face the voters very short order and explain to them why, contrary to the way the people in that community voted, or the people statewide, or the authority given to them by the legislature, they chose to make their city dry in that sense.
Or it may be consistent with the way the local vote went.
Yes, that's another thing. It may be consistent. Although I'm not aware of any.
I don't think there's a single town in the state in which it failed. I don't study the results. I like the county as you do, I'm sure.
Well, I would, you know, what Hardy said, I think that it would be consistent with the thinking of the House members. Again, if I read them, what their feelings and intents were during the debate, that prohibition could be one of the sanctions for a violation of a local regulation.
Kip and I were both, I think, on the same side of the issue of whether local government should have the power of regulation and licensing. I mean, we had probably upwards of 15 to 20 votes in the House for no local power at all. And the issue was both regulation in the terms you've been talking about, and also licensure in the sense of being able to charge a fee for being permitted to play the game we rationalize it in part as an offset to the costs to local government of policing and whatever.
Okay.
So it's not hard for that much prerogative locally.
Well, I disagree with that, but I think, I hope I shouldn't usurp Walt's thoughts on the matter, but I think that probably is the sense of the Senate, too. And I think I am in the minority. I would really prefer the way it came over, and I'd like to assure you that that's all the Senate would hold out for, that we're at loggerheads. I don't think that's a fact. I don't know, Walt.
I think we've got a more difficult problem on our side.
You must.
What was the vote on the Senate? There seemed to be no problem with the bill as it came out of the Judiciary Committee.
Yeah. So I toyed with the idea of saying, well, as I've done, you know, that's it, guys. New conferees and go. But if we can beef up and make it clear, the way I'm looking at it, and see if this is consonant with what you think your House feels, is that my attempt to require a further permission did not sell, and I obviously wouldn't sell in your group. Okay, this is maybe the next step, and that is no authority with a local jurisdiction to prohibit blanket prohibition. We're just not going to have bingo in Salem, period. Okay,
from your feeling is that that won't
sell? I don't think the House will buy that.
Okay. The next step down would be to say that the cities and counties can regulate and license, and that's what kind of what you said. So that is what you said.
That is what I said.
But I'd like to make it clear, that very clear, that those licensing and regulation and the normal police power for the health, welfare of the community includes prohibiting.
The sanction of prohibiting.
The sanction of prohibiting. Not blanket. They couldn't say, okay, there's the Episcopal Church has been naughty and violated it, so therefore no more bingo in Salem. Can't do that. But they can say, you folks at St. Paul's ain't going to play bingo down there anymore. Or for a year or 2 years or whatever the case may be. Is that consonant with what you think the House was? I think the House was
violated. Yeah, I think it was. I don't have any trouble with that.
What do you think?
Just considering what the political realities of the toughest provisions that we can get through. Of course, I would personally prefer, and I think the majority of the Senate would be certainly amenable to simply giving a local option to it, which would include prohibiting. But if that's not reality, then I stuck to that, then my concern, of course, is that we're going to get a new set of conferees and we're going to get this thing opened up even more.
We're strongly committed to the maximum sway for local control short of outright prohibition of a blanket matter. Skip and I both were leaders in the fight for the majority report on that issue. And
which House?
Which is full sway for local control short of outright prohibition of a blanket matter. And we're not here fighting for anything more than just that one elimination and with a ready willingness to make clear that regulation can include prohibition for further conduct of the game by an individual licensee.
What I'm concerned about is the group that rents the Grange Hall, and there are problems arise, and the license is pulled, and they get a reapplication essentially in another name, but it's essentially the same conglomerate. Because that's just a problem how carefully you can define your local regulations.
Of course, we're only dealing with charitable organizations.
Yeah.
And for instance, if it is the, let's say, St. Paul's going to do it, you don't run right out and qualify.
You have to qualify under the IRS standard.
That's what I'm saying, is that
which
there's a pretty good
pretty
threshold to leap. To begin with,
for qualification
to begin with. So we worry about this in some of our liquor license bills, that you just turn around, change your name, come right back in again, and you have a terrible enforcement problem. But I suspect in this one, I would think the organizations would be terribly careful that they didn't blow it, because if they blew it, my guess would be, if we write it the way I think we're all saying, St. Paul just isn't going to get a license for a good bit of time, and that's going to end bingo playing under their auspices. And it would seem to me that that would tend to encourage them to stay as well within the strictures prescribed by the city or county.
Did I hear on the radio the other day, it seems to me 3 or 4 weeks ago, I heard on one of the morning radio broadcasts that some municipality had in fact prepared an ordinance consonant with what they expected to come out of the legislature to provide a license fee for the conduct of bingo.
I would think,
sorry, interesting. But I can't remember where it was. It was one of those things where I was probably out in the kitchen on the radio learning.
I would think that the prospect of losing the ability to be further licensed, to actually conduct the game at all, would be a much greater deterrent to violations than maybe even the prospect of some kind of fine or whatever.
Oh, I think so. Well, the embarrassment to most of these organizations if they violate, they're getting into the gambling business now, and whether it's the Soraya Society or the Cancer Society or St. Paul's Episcopal Church or whatever it is, they get tabbed for running an unlawful gambling house, they want to do their program much good. And the IRS would be very interested in that too, I suspect. Well, then maybe what we ought to do, Mr. Chairman, is Dennis didn't have much else to do. Maybe he can spend some time.
Well, I've spent some time. I've got two things for you. One is the definition of big or a lot of. And then I've got some language that has been, I can read to you on the other.
Before we actually look at that, I was just trying to determine if there were any other changes in Section 2 about the mechanism for notification of.
Oh, Diana, clean that up. Her language is better than us on that mechanism for notification. She turned it around a little bit.
Is there any requirement here, as a kind of trade-off, the prior discussion that those in those groups that are conducting this have some federal sanction? See here, it's the constitutional provision says, as used in this section, charitable fraternal religious organization, religious organization, as defined by law, which are also exempt from payment of federal income tax. So they got to be federally.
Yeah. And that was in the constitutional
amendment.
Yeah, that restriction was in there by removal.
Yes.
I was wondering, excuse me.
No, sorry, that's covered.
Would there be any advantage to breaking Section 2, which is the one we've been talking about, into some component parts rather than, it really is addressing several different issues. I would like to reverse the order, for instance, and state that a political subdivision can, by local ordinance or regulation or resolution or whatever it is, then go on, license, so on and so forth, but cannot adopt or enforce any local ordinance that outright or prohibits outright the operation of lotteries.
Okay.
Would that make me feel a little better? Would that make it tougher for you guys to pass?
No.
I don't think so.
Okay, it's just saying it what I'm doing is, legally, I don't think I've changed a bit of it, but it, rather than a smack in the face to start out with, that the cities and counties are helpless, we start out with that they can regulate and license, but they can't outright prohibit that.
But I think we should also indicate that among the sanctions that would be included in regulation would be temporary or permanent.
I would think the second sentence maybe of that section, nothing herein shall be construed to prohibit blah blah blah, and then can't use prohibit there again probably, but clarify that
regulation can include
including the revocation, suspension, and revocation of licenses
on a temporary or permanent basis.
Yeah. Okay.
No problem.
Okay. This seems to me that maybe if we break that up into several paragraphs, maybe the same section, but 1, 2, and 3 or something, it would, because there are several thoughts. And the thing that this whole section is just a thicket. It's obviously, the whole gambling section is, best example I know in the statutes of government by committee, and I have no offense, gentlemen, to the House.
How about the gun control?
That's close. This is all my favorite. I'll say none of this. So, it's the definitions just move from front to back and sideways and on. And anything we can do, because what's going to happen is, it's happened in the other areas, is some church or some fraternal organization is going to call their local lawyer and say, we want bingo next Friday night. Can we play?
Mm-hmm.
And the
guy's just going to hemorrhage right there on the spot because he knows that if he misguesses, he's going to embarrass his group. So I suppose nonprofit associations and others will be helping their people get into the game, so to speak. But I think the easier it reads, the better off it'll be.
I would have a suggestion, too, and that is to split out into a totally new... I think we've got... You're describing a way of framing the section of the bill that deals with the role of local government.
Yes, licensing and regulating.
Now, I don't know why the provisions that deal with notification to the Corporation Commission ought to be wrapped up in that same thing. We should have a new section 3 to the bill and then renumber the succeeding sections and deal with that separately. We describe local governmental power in section 2.
Sure.
Have a new section 3 and renumber.
Fine. I'm reluctant to get into any further cleaning up of the gambling statutes.
No. I didn't mean that. I'm sorry. I just was lamenting. By no means get into the rest of that stuff.
Now, let's take a look at Dennis's definition here.
Do you ever play bingo, either one of you gentlemen, with letters as opposed to numbers? Letters instead of numbers. It's always numbers.
It's always numbers.
Okay.
Because there's a certain number of numbers. There's less numbers on a bingo game than there is on a keno game.
Okay.
This definition, I would think, does not cover those little cards that you break open. We had,
yeah, we don't want that.
Okay.
Right. I think so.
Okay. One problem here is this by an individual still. Because I'm
still thinking about an individual. You still have to have a ringmaster or somebody.
You do have some forms though, on which it's displayed on us electronically. The numbers.
Yes. Which you have a blower, and they're on a big board. The numbers are on the board. Row A, B, B, I, N, G, O, the numbers are...
Don't you have an MC or a
isn't that
QBA
like
or...
Machine operator.
Okay.
Machine operator.
Pulls the ball out of the slot, punches the button to show what the number is,
well,
or calls it there.
A regular board will come up automatically when it comes out. It'll register on the backboard.
Yeah.
It registers on the backboard. So it runs smooth.
Not even touched by anybody.
That's
a very elaborate one, though, Wally.
Well, yeah, I don't think we've played a baseball.
What about something like, you know, who covers or uncovers a number when it is drawn or otherwise obtained from a container and is announced or displayed? I mean, we could tinker around with some language like that so that we cover these different modes of conventional bingo. What is essentially the conventional bingo?
So the numbers come from a container. Well, simple as that.
They always will come from a container, won't
that's
they?
Right.
That's a constant in these different
the
varieties.
What's wrong with the simpler language? Covers or uncovers a number when it is indicated. A number will always be indicated. Why get into the specificity?
Well, does that open it back up to any of these other kind of more exotic forms of bingo?
You're going to have, as far as the bingo is concerned, you're going to have a difference of a different player you go. It depends upon how big or how many members that an organization has who wants to play bingo. If it's limited, or let's say only 25 or 30 at a time, well, then, of course, you can all sit around and play bingo and throw the things out of a, well, they got little roll balls or roll ball, that sort of thing. But where you may have an audience of 50 or 100, then you have to have an elaborate setup. Because, in other words, just to make the thing physically work.
Yeah, Sam, I wasn't talking about those variations. I was talking about these pull tab kind of deals.
But
so
the problem
is you have, and which is won by a player's prison when the numbers are being indicated.
If one indicates a number first, and you have to respond to that indication by finding it on your card and covering it, doesn't that preclude the kind of random pull tab in which there's no correlation at all between somebody indicating a number and you being able to get that number because it's blind? That's a different situation. Or when you go to Safeway or whatever and you get a little card and you scrape off the numbers there, again, that wouldn't be covered. I would think that simply having the language when indicated.
But what you could do then would be when it's called by an individual or displayed.
Yeah, you could say that too.
What is
called or
displayed?
Called or displayed by an individual?
No.
Called by an individual. Okay.
By an individual is the problem, Dennis. Because
putting back in called by an individual, of course, that would be okay. And that's going to take in 95% of them, I think.
Yeah.
But the trouble is probably going to come from maybe the other 5% where it gets into the professional side.
That's fine.
When it's called by an individual.
Or displayed. And leave the rest as is.
Well, we got to get numbered markers from a container in there. And that would apply to either one. That, apparently, from what Stan said, we could keep the numbered markers from a container. Everybody uses numbered markers from a container, right?
Right. In other words, as far as the method of drawing it, or whatever you use on there, depends on the number of people you have.
Yeah.
The number of people you have.
But if they all come from a container, they're all numbered markers.
All the numbers come out of a container.
Are there any that come out by any means other than being drawn or expelled?
Oh, yes. You've got the bingo deal. It's a round ball. You put all the numbers in that round ball, and you turn it around. There's one hole in it. A hole will drop out.
Well, how about a number? Well, wherever it would go, we could worry about that a little later. A number which is drawn or otherwise obtained from a container.
Well, you can spend all day trying to get it down to a technical deal. As far as the game of bingo is concerned,
and
a lot of
people hang on technicalities. It's got to be right. If there's any girl that comes out of legislation, it's got to be right, believe it or not. I think it's just so technical.
Well, then may I attend to one other fact, and I've had some experience in this, that as far as a license is concerned, any community that wants to revoke a license can do it now.
I think you're changing the subject now.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Let's get the definition first.
Yes.
And then.
I just simply say the numbers are drawn from a container. Whether it's expelled, blown, or whatever it has to be, the numbers are drawn.
The number of when it is drawn,
which has been drawn from a container?
Well, drawn from that.
Or which has been
or otherwise obtained from a container?
Selected, which has been selected.
Selected.
Which has been selected.
Then leave out called by an individual.
Any container,
is won by a player who doesn't win the selection because we dropped the word numbered markers, haven't we?
Yeah.
Is present during the drawing or selection?
During the game.
Okay.
Just use game of the
ball. Sure.
present during the game.
Mm-hmm.
Bingo allotto means a game played with cards bearing lines of numbers in which a player covers or uncovers a number selected from a container and which is won by a player who is present during the game and who first covers or uncovers the numbers in a designated combination, sequence, or pattern.
How about adding, just for absolute clarification, covers or uncovers the selected numbers?
All right.
The designated combination.
Selected. Fine.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Would you read it through one more time?
Bingo or lotto means a game played with cards bearing lines of numbers in which a player covers or uncovers a number selected from a container and which is won by a player who is present during the game and who first covers or uncovers the selected numbers in a designated combination, sequence, or pattern.
You read that.
Is that okay?
Does that sound all right?
I put the word winning numbers.
Close enough.
Selected.
Yeah. The other problem, the redrafting of section 2 into 2 section, I'll get that to you later this morning.
Could we hear, you were correct in getting Stan back on the point, but he was going to get his licensing, and I'd like to hear what he had to say. Would that be all right?
Oh, sure. Excuse me. Didn't mean to be rude, Stan.
No, you weren't. He was right. I didn't.
Maybe you ought to come up here to the microphone so we can hear. Give us your name for the record.
You see what I mean about having a board? As far as a city is concerned with a license is concerned, I had a good experience. With the city of Portland, at one time when I operated coin machines, at that time, the city of Portland said that they wanted the pinball games out, and they took the point that they revoked the license. I went to the Oregon Supreme Court on that. The Oregon Supreme came down, in this case, came down and said that the city has the prerogative under their police code to prohibit anything. They can do anything they want to do, prohibit anything. So if bingo games would create a problem in any place, all the city had to do, as far as their license is concerned, is revoke it. Simple as that, and they're out of business. They got all the police powers, all the authority, everything they need. This has already gone to the Oregon Supreme Court in the case of Terry versus the City of Portland.
How long ago was that, Stan?
Oh, I should remember that because that was quite a financial loss, but I think it was about 54, something like that, some 54.
I think we do have the problem of local control, charter cities and home rule counties, but I'm not willing to sit on it, particularly with constitutional amendment hovering. There is no constitutional amendment saying thou shalt authorize pinball machines. Now there is one for bingo. I'm not saying the Supreme Court wouldn't hold the same way, but I...
And we've sent one over to you on raffles.
Perhaps we cleaned up.
Well, I maintain that the state of
they use it to clean up
like the floor.
Quilting
law.
Yes. Okay, so you have to move.
Yes.
Revised.
Right away. I have one question.
Organized number 2 and 3.
Will these amendments be to the B. Engross bill, and is there a recommendation for C. Engrossman? Is that how this works?
You can go either way. Usually the committee report, I think that whether they engross or not is really a desk question, but usually the conference committee report is that you further amend the engross.
So it's a normal committee report?
I think it ought to be engrossed.
I think
so. Anybody who wants to see the final version with the conference committee amendments can get it.
Yes, I think
engross
right.
Bill. So.
Well, if all of you are available today, I'll try to get this done this morning and around and circulate and initials, all the initials on one page or whatever.
I have one other thought here that I'm not sure if I can properly throw this in, but I have this overriding fear that we're going to have organizations that very skillfully acquire a federal charitable tax-exempt status, when in fact the
the major reason for their coming into existence is in order to take advantage of this law. I don't think it's all that difficult to get that status.
Can you again speak to that?
I'd like to finish my I have seen a book of the number of organizations in the United States that have that status, and it looks like a New York phone directory. And it seems to me that there should be a period of time that that organization exists and demonstrates that it has some other purpose for existing other than simply operating bingo games and admittedly siphoning off part of that to some charitable purpose, where maybe a larger portion is siphoned off for rent and salaries and overhead, etc. So it seems to me that that we should somehow amend on page 3 in subsection D, where we have the language here, organized and existing. I would throw in something like organized and existing for at least 5 years, or maybe in line 11, who's also a tax exempt, and change it there so it has been exempt for at least 5 years from payment of federal income taxes. I would like to see that being notified of groups and not one that rushes in and acquires a status and is really nothing but a bingo charity. And so I would like to see, if they had a period, even a period of a year, or preferably a period, say 5 years, you can see that the thrust of this organization is genuinely religious, genuinely and charitable, genuinely fraternal, and that they were not organized and conceived just for this purpose. We've got Reverend Moon and all sorts of groups that come out of the woodwork, and they can and do raise a lot of money.
It seems to me, and I've had a little bit of experience, not much, but a little bit, in this area of qualified charitable organizations for tax exempt status, and I found the requirements actually rather onerous, in both in the forms that have to be presented and in making the qualifications, and then in the reporting requirements thereafter. We talked about this, as I recall, in House Judiciary, and that was one of the reasons why we decided we would put the reporting requirement, the filing of evidence of tax exempt status, that be reported to the Corporation Commissioner, that the filing be made with the Corporation Commissioner.
So where is that?
That is in Section 2.
No sanction, though. You ought to have a sanction.
No, but IRS, again.
But I'm not speaking to you.
No, I'm wondering in terms of overkill on a situation like this, because if the IRS, for instance, finds that this is a phony organization that is set up really for the purpose of conducting games and raking off enough overhead to make it profitable for somebody.
The manager.
You bet your bottom dollar the IRS, the Treasury Department, or whoever's going to be enforcing that will be on that, I would think, right away.
This is my business, but I do for a living. It's not a other thing. There are, as Representative Lumber said, terrific safeguards on this thing through the reporting on the Form 99 and the federal government every year and the unrelated income factors. Number one, there's not a month goes by that somebody that basically doesn't call me and say, we want to become a nonprofit organization, how do we do it? And it is a tremendous process. You guns in the state, the corporation division guns to defend the government. It's almost impossible to do anymore. If I were there for the Rosenberg gun club last month, they said they're not for profit. We've been playing that thing with our attorneys for over a year, finally climax last month, and they said, no, you're not a nonprofit organization.
I heard you do that for the Van Ashen ski area.
Of course, the nonprofit, we're not talking about nonprofit.
That's right.
No, right, that's an element first, but then we're talking only about charitable, fraternal, and religious.
Right.
But the Moonies are something that scare me to death, but the problem there is, then it comes to the eye of the beholder. In other words, if you're Lutheran or Catholic, well, I'm Episcopalian.
You know,
you understand. You know, the fellow Episcopalian's not sure about you guys.
They say he believes in one God, if any.
I think a broad view of this. I'm not being there. Well, Mr. Chairman, I think
Dr. Moon is just beyond that.
No, I agree. They're selling candy and Salem life right now.
I mean, they've been soliciting
with or without whiskey.
Yeah,
I think without.
But do they qualify?
Well, I don't know.
I don't know.
Okay, I think Mr. Chairman Walt's got a good point. I don't really think we can. I'd like to say yes on his suggestion, but I think we have a problem there. But I do think this is going to be a concern, and I'll tell you where I think the greatest problem is going to be. And I don't mean to slander any particular organization, but there are a few fraternal organizations that hire circuses to come into town. And the only thing being used is the fraternal organization, which gets 5-10%, and the rest of it is pure ripoff. And that, I think, is where we're going to have to watch ourselves, that somebody is going to hokey up a bingo company that's going to go to St. Paul's and say, we'll run a deal for you, and you'll get 10% of the profit. For instance, I won't mention the organization, but they had a deal where some sort of a donkey baseball game or something in Portland, and the organization would get 10%. You know, and they charge three. It's a ripoff and very close to being a fraud, I think. And I think that's the danger we're going to have to look out for. But that's what you're going to have to look out for, and keeping your people from getting hammered. Because I don't know how we can stop that.
Well, we stop it by regulating it locally, which is in the bill. If that doesn't work, then you come back here in September.
Is there any way of putting the state internal revenue in the position of putting this approval on these organizations?
We discussed the filing with the State Department of Revenue rather than the Corporation Commission. The reason we did not pick the Department of Revenue was that we felt that these organizations have to file already an annual form with the Corporation Commission. And we felt that it probably would be easier from an administrative standpoint for them to file along with their annual filing with the Corporation Commission. Finding of the evidence of tax exempt status.
Is every group that has a federal tax exempt status accorded that status by the state of Oregon? Or do we call out any and say some don't qualify? Normally, the state of Oregon follows federal
law
criteria.
There was anything different. By and large, it parallels. My recollection of this, that it parallels exactly.
Could I ask why you don't have it an annual? You say once you file it, unless you don't have to ever file it again with the Corporation Commissioner, unless you're out of business for 3 years or something, or unless it's you lose your
salary for 3 years. Yeah.
What I was suggesting is maybe we're going to make an exception out of that. What would be the possibility of making an annual requirement and having a sanction that failure to file or renew is grounds for revocation of your license? There is no sanction in that.
It's not always a license, though. Not every town will have licensing.
Yeah.
I think the reason we didn't require an annual we'd be talking about an annual notification of tax exempt status was
certification of exemption
was that I guess we just didn't see it as particularly necessary.
Well, that and obtaining the certification itself, I suppose.
Then also I did a review of the bingo statutes in a great many of the states, and it was clear that many of them had extensive and expensive statewide regulatory systems with employees regulating bingo and all this stuff, and upon review it seemed like it was a pointless and wasteful expenditure of state money.
Could I pass that for just one quick second?
Sure.
I got another point you raised before I forget it, which was that there is no sanction in the bill, technically, for not having filed a notification. Now, I think that the way we may want to address that is that back in the definition of gambling, we exempt bingo or lotto, as otherwise defined, operated by a charitable, fraternal, religious organization when no person profits, blah, blah, blah. Now, I wonder if we couldn't get asked by just saying, by compliance with the game conducted by an organization which is complied with what would be, I guess, Section 3 in the 1977 Act. Otherwise, it's gambling. They're in violation of the Civil Code.
So you would not only have to be organized and existing for charitable, et cetera, and you'd have to not only have the exempt status federally, but you would have had to have filed with the Corporation Commissioner
prior notification. Otherwise, you're gambling.
Mm-hmm. Kip, what you having a problem?
No, I'm just looking for the placement. I guess somebody you'd say, except for charitable, fraternal, or religious organizations which have complied with Section 3 of this 1977 Act.
Well, you could add.
No, the E goes back to
sub D.
Oh.
And so you're reading it.
It's sub D. Well, I think it would be an amendment to up here.
Gambling means.
Gambling does not include, and then you come down to sub D, bingo or lotto operated by charitable, blah, blah, blah. In describing the organizations that whose operation isn't gambling, I think we just
modified
it.
Yeah, I think that's good. And also notice in reading that, that's going to be some control on that ripoff that I just spoke to, and that is that no profit can go to anybody but the organization or the winner. The player, so that's they're going to be able to charge high fees. I suspect, but somebody will be watching that. I think. Okay. Well, in any manner now, the custodian comes up who's working there in the church that night is not to be paid.
I don't think we should consider profit for that cost.
He'll be paid by the church.
The church
benefits and gets his profit. So he's really just an extension of his basic
the cost of doing business.
Right, by the church. By the profit.
You gentlemen, any other comments?
He's coming back in 2011.
We're pretty agreeable.
What's 2011? Aggravated murder? You're pretty agreeable people.
Well, I didn't intend to be.
While I was making the speech, I kind of did not take a breath. And did you have anything else to say on the problem of the pony organization? That was the point I raised.
Well, just for this purpose, the whole basis of this bingo in non-profit charitable church organizations, the basis of it is, to bring in revenue for their charity, for their functions, whatever they do. There's a lot of clubs. This is the reason why the vote was so heavy, because they want some means of bringing in revenue to supply their charity, whatever they want to do. And so as far as these clubs are concerned, now in the state of Washington, of course, they took the
lottery out of the Constitution, and they permit a bingo game over there. And in this particular cases, there are a lot of clubs. You'll take the Drum and Bugle Corps, or you take a lot of qualified organizations. They have to have somebody. They either hire a manager or somebody else to come in and set up a bingo game, because it is a business to run. So as far as I'm concerned, if you did have, you'd have somebody that come in and said to the Veterans of Foreign Wars, it's okay, we'll set up a bingo parlor, and we'll give you 10% or 20% of the gross. Well, that would be satisfactory to the club, because that's what they want. In other words, this is what they do. It does two things. It brings in the revenue, but the most important thing, it gives them activity for their people. This is the one thing that all a bingo game is bingo. It's a place to pass the time, to socialize, and that sort of thing. And bingo, that's where it is. It's away from the point of gambling. And then the other thing about a bingo game, you cannot cheat it, manipulate it any way, because you have so much many cards, you pay so many money, much money for it, and you give back so much money. So it has to be, there's no way to gimmick it, no way to gimmick it at all. It's a fun game, it's necessary as far as the communities are concerned to play bingo. It's a lot of fun. It's like going to church or a lot of other actors.
It is going to church.
Yeah, I guess it was
Thank you all.